National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can turn it on the board. Yes. Back to back, Jack. And it is 4-1.
Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
I was going to rip his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody as ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like me. I'm from there.
Yo. And welcome back to the Fix Sports Podcast, which is the realest and the blackest sports podcast that you have ever heard in your entire life. Coming straight from the south, going down. Yeah. Been working on the Fix Sports Choir. Y'all already know what it is. Audio shot talk going straight up in your ear hole. How we do what we do. We talk about it how we talk about it, how you talk about it with your uncle, your cousin, little man down the street, and Big Reggie that's always sweating when he cut your hair. Oh, yeah. This is how we talk about it, how we flow when we flow when we flow. You dig? Audio shot talk. Fix Sports Podcast right here on the Freedom Train Network. www.freedomtrainradio.com is the website. And you know, man, we the medium, the hub for black media. We are black media's number one media, black America's number one media resource. And we give it to you how we give it to you. And we live how we live, how we get down in the side. Yeah. So as you know, On the Shoulders of Giants is our sponsor, and On the Shoulders of Giants, they provide African history at your fingertips and on the go, right, through the African History Curriculum app, through the African History Book Series, African History Blog, the YouTube channel, youtube.com/OnTheShoulders1, the nonprofit organization, speaking engagements, lectures, historical presentations, whatever you need, On the Shoulders of Giants got you. You pull up information on your smartphone, tablets, smart boards, anywhere, inside the classroom and on the go. On the Shoulders of Giants got information for you that could help you know. Ho! So make sure you visit www.ontheshoulders1.com as well as www.ontheshoulders.org. to learn more about On the Shoulders of Giants. Once again, that's www.ontheshoulders1.com and www.ontheshoulders.org. Bling, 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 bling. Bling, 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 bling. All right, so give you a little rundown. Our HBCU spotlight is aimed at a young man who could probably kick all of our ass. Jamel Hill Taylor, who's the first African American to win a Jiu-Jitsu World Champion. And then we're going to talk about NBA free agency. Who, what, where, when, and how, because free agency started 12 o'clock this morning, or last night, whatever. So we're going to tell you about it. Lonzo Ball has a new injury. We'll update you on the Lonzo Ball injury. His daddy's league, the Junior Basketball Association, has started. So we're going to talk about that. Get an update on the World Cup. Remember, in the World Cup, we are now in the round of 16, and we've had two games to play so far, and we got more games to come, so stay up to date on that. Tell you about Clarissa Shields' latest victory, and, you know, the young lady she fought, and tell you about that whole fight. Our off-topic shit, because it is Monday, so our off-topic shit is on Trump and his Space Force. Yeah. Give you an update on the College World Series, Oregon State, the new champions. I'll tell you all about that. Sammy Sosa has been in the news lately saying he won a statue and talk about his previously alleged PED use. And we're going to also talk about his skin color. And our weekly rant is aimed at the former pitchers coach of the Detroit Tigers who was fired for calling a black person a monkey. They're going to try to lie and say he ain't calling no black person a monkey. He was calling a white person a monkey. Because that's the joke he always used with the white person. So, yeah. Whatever. So let's get this thing popping. Yeah, buddy. As y'all can see, I was a beatbox champion in my former life. Beatbox, it was called me Beatbox Bobby in my former life, so, you know. So, Howard Student becomes first African-American world jiu-jitsu champ. Ooh, hey! Shane Jamil Hill Taylor shows that black men can grapple. He got a long name. So if you know MMA, then you know it's well-circulated joke rumor that African-American men neither do not like to grapple or aren't good at it. Well, Shane Jamil Hill Taylor is irrefutable proof of that notion being false. The Howard University senior, I just want to let y'all remind y'all HBCU, right? The Howard University senior majoring in sports management recently was crowned the fifth International Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Federation's world champion. I'm going to say it again. He was recently crowned the fifth International Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Federation world champion, making him the very first African-American to hold the title. Hey-o! Hill Taylor comes from Lloyd Irvin's Camp Springs, Maryland camp. Irvin is a fourth-degree black belt and trainer to MMA fighters Brandon the Truth Vera and Mike the Hope Easton, to name a few. On Monday, June 4th, Hill Taylor locked former IBJJF world champion Leonardo Seguirio into a position he couldn't escape, and the announcer proclaimed Hill Taylor the new champion. To be the 2018 Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu champion at the black belt level, and to be the first African-American to achieve that title is pretty crazy, honestly. I've been working for this for 14 years, and it's the reflection of a lot of hard work and a lot of struggles, Hill Taylor said. The 20-year-old will enter his last semester at Howard University when the 2018-2019 school year begins. Upon graduation, he plans to travel more to compete in order to perfect his sport, and he plans to use his degree to increase the presence of jiu-jitsu in his community. When I'm in school, I still train the same amount of days, but I can't always do tour days if I have a lot of homework and studying to do, says Hill Taylor in a recent Jiu-Jitsu Times interview. Hill Taylor competes at 154 pounds and has frequently been labeled the featherweight king by several sportscasters for his penchant to break records. He is a 9-time champion in addition to other accolades. The student is sponsored by Spider and currently training to compete in the Spider Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu Championship quarterfinals in Korea in July of 21st. So from the hills of Florida A&M University down to the Fix Sports Podcast and the Freedom Train Network and all of us here at the Fix Sports Podcast and our audio shop talk studio, we stand and we get ready. Little man in the shirt, put your hands together. Put your hands together. For Shane Jamil Hill Taylor for becoming the first African American world jiu-jitsu champ. And all of his other accolades in jiu-jitsu and being a senior at Howard University. Go ahead, Shane. Shane Jamil Hill Taylor. Shane Jamil Hill Taylor. Shane Jamil Hill Taylor. Shane Jamil Hill Taylor. Oh! Shane Jamil Hill Taylor, Shane Jamil Hill Taylor, Shane Jamil Hill Taylor can beat your ass. So, one time for Shane, man. Glad I found that story, man. I'm glad I found that story because that is a lovely lovely, lovely story. And, you know, I mean, you know, so we got to make sure we show some love. We got to make sure we show some love. So one time for Shane, Jamil Hill Taylor, once again, the first African-American world jiu-jitsu champion straight out of Howard. Coming straight out of Howard, first African-American jiu-jitsu world champion. And I'm stamping everybody in the champions. Yeah. Yeah. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. As the clock counted down Sunday morning, Sunday, July 1st, as NBA free agency has started. Dun, dun, dun! And what has become so far of this free agency? Thou shalt tell you what has come from this NBA free agency. All right, so the Rockets to meet with Capella in Los Angeles. James spoke to the Cavs at 12:01 a.m., but he only spoke to them over the phone. Boogie Cousins to meet with the Pelicans and the Lakers. The Wolves hope to resign Butler to extension, Jimmy Butler. Barton and the Nuggets agreed to a deal. You know what I'm talking about? The Kings and the Hawks are interested in Zach LaVine. Report is Green will return to Rockets. Report is Kasipi comes to terms with the Grizzlies. Timberwolves to resign Derrick Rose. Bellinelli to reunite with the Spurs. The Suns to snag Ariza on a one-year deal. Adam Baines returning to Celtics on a two-year deal. Davis set to join Nets, and that's Ed Davis. Report Grant to resign with the Thunder, and that's Jeremiah Grant. And Paul George returned to the Thunder. You know what I'm talking about? Durant resigning with the Warriors. Chris Paul resigning with the Rockets. You know what I'm talking about? What else we got? Oh, yeah, DeAndre Jordan going to the Dallas Mavericks. McDermott and the Pacers reached a deal. Iguodala returned to the Bucks. Gay to resign with the Spurs. Joe Harris agrees to deal with the Nets. Jokic ready to sign a five-year max deal with the Nuggets. Barton and Nuggets will come to terms on a four-year deal. The Suns' biggest threat to sign Van Fleet. You know what I'm talking about? The Jazz to meet with Favors on Sunday in Atlanta. The Nuggets make Chandler Arthur Fareed available for trade. The Warriors are looking at Ariza Bradley and Howard. You know, hey, that'd be nice. The Lakers release Thomas Bryant. Suns release Ulis. Aldridge waived by Wolves, and that's Cole Aldridge. LeBron won't meet the Cavs in person. So, Warriors to explore DeAndre Jordan. That's a lot of – I gave it ahead. Let's get into it. So, the Rockets to meet with Capella in Los Angeles. Reportedly coming to terms with Chris Paul and losing Trevor Ariza to the Phoenix Suns. Houston will try to keep another key piece in his Western Conference Finals team. Later on Sunday, according to ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski via Twitter, the Rockets will meet with restricted free agent Clint Capella. Rockets front office will meet with restricted free agent center Clint Capella with his Western and Media Group agents on Sunday in Los Angeles, sources hope. Capella was a vital part of Houston's record-breaking offense in 2017-2018, serving as the ultimate role man after setting screens for James Harden and Chris Paul. The former 25th overall pick, averaged 10 rebounds and one block per contest in his fourth season in the league. Just 24 years old, Capella could very well improve over the length of his next NBA contract. With that in mind, the Rockets appear intent on keeping him in Houston for the foreseeable future. So the Cavs reportedly spoke to LeBron James at 12:01 a.m. According to Dave McMenamin, LeBron James and his agent spoke with the Cavaliers right as free agency period opened. However, it appears unclear if LeBron James and the Cavs, will meet face to face during a free agency period. Where LeBron James lands in free agency remains up in the air. However, the Cleveland Cavaliers will apparently made it known early that they want their superstar forward to stay with them going forward. According to the Associated Press, Tom Withers and ESPN's Dave McMenamin, the Cavaliers spoke with James when NBA free agency opened at 12:01 Eastern Standard Time on Sunday. According to the reports, Cavs general manager Kobe Altman spoke on the phone to both James and his agent, Rich Paul. James is an unrestricted free agent, and the Cavs are hoping to re-sign the three-time world champion, who is weighing whether to change teams for the third time in 8 years. James is also being pursued by the Los Angeles Lakers, who have enough salary cap space to sign him and another star player. So, Cousins to meet with Pelicans and Lakers. At the start of free agency, there are reportedly at least two teams heavily interested in DeMarcus Cousins. J. Mark Spears of ESPN's The Undefeated reports that Cousins took phone calls from his current team, the New Orleans Pelicans, and the Los Angeles Lakers. New Orleans Pelicans star free agent center DeMarcus Cousins received calls from the Pelicans and Los Angeles Lakers tonight on free agency. Tonight, once free agency began, and is expected to have meetings scheduled with both teams soon, a source told ESPN's Undefeated. With Paul George reportedly ready to resign or has resigned with Oklahoma, the Lakers appear to be shifting their offseason focus to other free agent talent. Kevin O'Connor of The Ringer reported on Saturday that DeMarcus Cousins could be one such option for the Lakers. The four-time All-Star is coming off a torn Achilles, but at just 27 years old, could be entering his prime if he returns healthy. So, you know, just a little information. So, the Wolves hope to resign Butler to extension. After snapping a 13-year playoff drought, Minnesota is all too eager to keep his core intact. According to Mark Stein of the New York Times, the Timberwolves hope to ink Jimmy Butler to a maximum 4-year contract this offseason, Stein tweeted. The Timberwolves begin free agency by informing star guard Jimmy Butler that they intend to sign him to a max contract extension valued in his fourth year at $110 million range as soon as he's eligible to sign the deal on July 9th. Butler's coming off his fourth consecutive All-Star season and his first with the Timberwolves. Minnesota acquired the 6'8" swingman last summer in exchange for Zach LaVine, Chris Dunn, first-team All-Rookie, Laurie McKinnon. So, Barton and Nuggets agreed to deal. Denver Nuggets have designs on making the playoffs in 2018-2019. They want to make that run with the core group of players they had last season. Per ESPN, Chris Haynes, the Nuggets and guard Will Barton have agreed to a 4-year, $54 million deal. This deal comes shortly after reports that the Nuggets gave big man Nikola Jokic are close to signing on the max extension. All right, the Kings and Hawks are interested in Zach LaVine. So after showing he still has plenty of bounce in his step following ACL surgery, Zach LaVine reportedly has multiple suitors for his services. Vincent Goodwill of NBC Sports Chicago reports that Atlanta Hawks could be in the play for the 6'5" guard. So Green will return to Rockets reportedly after losing Trevor Ariza to the Phoenix Suns, the Rockets will hang on to another sharp-shooting wingman in Gerald Green. Multiple reports have the veteran guard returning to Houston on a 1-year deal. Michael Soto of the Athletic tweeted, "Houston Rockets and Gerald Green have agreed to a 1-year, $2.4 million deal," league sources told the Athletic. Kasipi comes to terms with the Grizzlies. Eager to add shooting around their new big man duo of Mark Gasol and Jaren Jackson Jr., the Grizzlies have reportedly agreed to terms with veteran swingman Omari Kasipi per ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski. Free agent for Omari Kasipi has agreed to a 1-year deal with the Memphis Grizzlies, league sources tell ESPN. So, the Timberwolves and Derrick Rose and Tom Thibodeau will remain together with the Timberwolves. Multiple reports surfaced early Sunday saying the former Kia MVP has agreed to resign with Minnesota on a 1-year deal. Adrian Wojnarowski tweeted, "Free agent Derrick Rose is finalizing on a 1-year deal to return to Minnesota," league sources tell ESPN. Bellinelli to reunite Spurs. After spending 3 years apart, Marco Bellinelli and the San Antonio Spurs could finalize an NBA reunion. ESPN's Adrian Wojnarowski reports that two sides have come to terms on a 2-year deal that would add extra perimeter shooting to the Spurs roster, according to Wojnarowski. So look out for that. The Suns snag Ariza to a 1-year deal after adding two top 10 picks via the draft, Phoenix Suns decided to add some veteran experience. So according to multiple reports, the Rockets free agent Trevor Ariza has agreed to a one-year $15 million deal with the Suns per Shamus Kyrenia of Yahoo Sports. So 15 million for 1 year, hey, man, that's what's up. Baines returned to Celtics on a two-year deal. While the Celtics are certainly looking forward to Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward returning from injury, they were just as eager to bring one of their free agents back. And seemingly confirmed by Baines himself, the six-year big man will come back to Boston Celtics on a two-year $11 million deal, the second of which will be a player option. Baines expressed his excitement on Twitter over the deal. So Davis to join the Nets. Ed Davis, the former lottery pick, will join the Nets on a two-year deal. Minutes after word surfaced that Paul George would return to the Thunder, Jeremiah Grant is reportedly following suit. The four-year forward, according to multiple reports, will re-sign to Oklahoma City on a new three-year deal. That's according to David Aldridge. Durant re-signed with the Warriors, and he has a it appears likely that Kevin Durant will extend his stay in the Bay for one more year. Anyway, according to multiple reports, the recent NBA Finals plans to sign a two-year deal with Golden State poorly after negotiations opened at 12:01. The deal will include a player option for 2019-20 season. Kevin Durant has decided to sign a two-year deal with Golden State Warriors. A person familiar with the situation told the Associated Press on condition of anonymity Saturday because the deal cannot become final until the league's offseason moratorium ends on Friday. The deal comes with the player option for 2019-2020, so Durant can and likely will become a free agent again next summer. It's a win on multiple levels for the two-time defending world champion Warriors. Not only do they get to keep Kevin Durant, but they get flexibility in the deal. Durant will be paid about $30.5 million this coming season, about $5 million less than he could have commanded if the deal was structured differently. That savings will give Golden State options for other moves this summer as the Warriors look to bolster their bench for a run at what could be a fourth title in 5 years span. So, you know. So, Chris Paul resigned with the Rockets. He has a four-year deal worth $160 million. Paul George staying with the Thunder. Trying to look for the details of the deal. Four-year, $137 million deal. Paul George and the Rockets. DeAndre Jordan agreed to meet with the Mavericks. After adding playmaking guards via the draft last two summers, Dallas could be closing on an elite big man in DeAndre Jordan. Clippers free agent center DeAndre Jordan has verbally agreed to sign a one-year contract with the Mavericks, per Mark Stein, New York Times, said Eddie Sefko, the Dallas Morning News. Jordan almost signed with the Mavericks in 2015, but kept his butt in Los Angeles. The Clippers, however, are shifting from the Lob City era after having dealt Chris Paul and Blake Griffin over the previous 12 months, so now they're getting rid of DeAndre Jordan as well. So moves. They say the deal could be worth between 20 to 25 million. So, hey, man, you know, it's going down, NBA free agency. So any other free agent moves happen, I will gladly keep you up to date on what's going on. Of course, what happens with Kawhi Leonard and LeBron James, I will let you know since free agency is here. All right, so let's move on like Maya. No, Maya still look good. Maya is vegan now. She still look good. I love you, Maya. I love you, Maya. So Lonzo Ball has a torn left meniscus, which has been diagnosed at the end of the season. And we're just not really finding out. So reports just not coming out about it. So let's kind of read a little more. You know what I'm talking about? See what's happening with Lonzo. So apparently, according to reports, and this is Sports Illustrated, Lakers guard Lonzo Ball reportedly has a torn meniscus in his left knee, according to Shamus Kyrenia. I don't know who Shamus is, but okay. Ball was diagnosed with the injury at the end of the season and has gone through recovery options to find the best course of treatment. He is expected to be ready for the start of the season. Ball has had film sessions with President of Basketball Operations Magic Johnson and has been working out at the Lakers facility this summer. He's had a positive meeting with Johnson and GM Rob Pelinka at the end of the season. Ball has demonstrated a commitment to that direction this offseason, reports Chironia. The 52 games this season, Ball averaged 10.7 assists and six, basically 7 assists, 7 rebounds. He missed 30 games due to a sprained MCL and left knee contusion. So hopefully he returns and healthy and in good shape and ready to play for the Lakers or be dealt to another team or whatever. But Lonzo Ball is a good player, not a great player, he didn't live up to the number two pick billing, but Lonzo Ball is he's a good basketball player, and I do like Lonzo Ball as a point guard. He's a real point guard, especially today's point guard with old school point guard mentality and skill sets and stuff. So he'll get somebody the ball, he'll get other people involved, and Lonzo can make other people better because he can get them involved and have them do things. He just needs to get more aggressive. He got to drop his nuts. Lonzo dropped his nuts, he could probably be a 15-20, 10-10 guy. And if you're a 20-10-10 guy, I mean, how you going to argue with 20-10-10? Right now, he's 10-10-10. So 10-10-10 is good, but 10-10-10 is not great. We need him to be a 20-10-10 or 25-10-10, and then Lonzo will be in there like 20. You know what I'm talking about? So that's a little update on Lonzo Ball and what he got going on. So that's Lonzo. Let's talk about his daddy and the JBA. And like I said last on my Friday show, shout out to Allen Bell at AB the Hero, Instagram at AB the Hero, YouTube at AB the Hero, because Allen Bell is a traveling commentator with the JBA, representing the Big Baller brand. And so AB the Hero, Allen Bell, and shout out to him. We went to high school together, and he's doing his thing. So he played football for Iowa State, played cornerback at Iowa State University. So one time for Allen Bell, man. So the JBA has started, and it got teams and stuff like that. And so I'm on the JBA website. So it's jbaleague.com. So the first game was June 21st, and it was between Chicago and Atlanta at Citizens Bank Arena. And Atlanta beat Chicago 128-117. Then the next game was on 21st. You had Los Angeles versus New York, and Los Angeles beat New York 134-124. Not a lot of defense is being played. Okay, so Dallas Dallas played Seattle on June 23rd, and Seattle beat Dallas 121-103. Houston, also on the 23rd, Houston played New York, and Houston beat New York 116-91. On the 24th, June 24th, Philadelphia played Atlanta. Philadelphia lost to Atlanta, actually, 123-148. And this June 24th game, I have no idea why the score is what it is, but it's Los Angeles versus Seattle, and the final score is 154-145. Not a lot of defense is being played in this league. So that's the schedule. That's all the scores that I have. I wish there were more scores, but that's all the scores that I have. So the teams are all the teams are the Ballers. So they are the Los Angeles Ballers, the New York Ballers, the Houston Ballers, Chicago Ballers, Dallas Ballers, Philadelphia Ballers, Seattle Ballers, and Atlanta Ballers. So 8 teams. So all of them are Ballers. Like I said, Atlanta, Seattle, Philadelphia, Dallas, Chicago, Houston, New York, Los Angeles. I saw a video on YouTube yesterday about some of the things and the tryouts and things. And it wasn't favorable. It wasn't a favorable video of the JBA. So, but it was talking about the scouting process, the tryouts. So they had a bunch of people come to these tryouts. A bunch of people tried out. Then the ones who made it were forced to sign a contract immediately, like the same day as the tryouts. Didn't have a chance to read the contracts and go over stuff reportedly and things of the information that was in that video. So The Junior Basketball Association League is here, and it's, you know, brought to you by LeVar Ball and the Big Baller brand. And I wish it my success. I tune in. I see the games on YouTube and Facebook Live and stuff like that. So get a chance, tune in, check it out. Support. Can't always be talking about our own leagues. And when the brother created the league, got to start from somewhere. The brother got to start from scratch. You got to start from somewhere. So I say let's support the JBA. That's why I'm reporting about it. And now I continue to keep you up to date on what's going on in the JBA. But support the JBA. And like I say, we can't be like, hey man, we should start our own league. Black people need their own league. Black people got our own basketball league. You just got to support it. I saw a couple of highlights from the games, and people ain't been going to them games. People not going to them games. I don't know why. Maybe ticket prices. I heard ticket prices were crazy. I don't know, but let's do what we got to do to support JBA. Get! All right, moving on. I said I'd be moving on. All right, so let's talk about some soccer. And like I told y'all early in the show, the World Cup is in the round of 16. The round of 16, where we have 16 teams. That's what they call it, the round of 16, because it's 16 teams, right? So the round of 16, it consists of France and Argentina, Uruguay, Portugal, Spain, Russia, Croatia, Denmark, Brazil, Mexico, Belgium, Japan, Sweden, Switzerland, and Colombia versus England. And so far, we've had two games, and we've had two upsets. Two unexpecteds happened because the world wanted to see Argentina play Portugal, but both them motherfuckers lost. So, I woke up the other morning, and I'm chilling, eating breakfast, chilling, watching France and Argentina play. So, I need to go get my hair cut because my shit was nappy, right? So I leave the house to go get my hair cut. When I leave the house, Argentina is up 2-1 on France. But the buddy from France, the black dude, the teenager from France, I cannot think of his name right now. But he's a 19-year-old, and he's, since Pele, the second or third youngest player to have multiple goals in a round of 16 game or any World Cup games that there is. I can't think of his name right now, and I'm looking for the name and I can't think of it, but the young man was clearly the fastest person on the field. And from the beginning, you could see that they couldn't fuck with him. Mbappe, that's his name, Mbappe. Mbappe, that's his name. Mbappe, right? So, hey, Kylian Mbappe. Mbappe balled out, right? So, like I said, Argentina took the early 2-1 lead, but clearly they couldn't stop Mbappe because whatever strategy that Argentina's defense was using, it left a gap right up open on the right hand side. Mbappe black, too, by the way. So they couldn't run with him. So you got this 19-year-old with all his testosterone coursing through his veins, and he black, so he probably the fastest person out there, one of the fastest people out there because he black, right? And so, pew! Mbappe shoots out, and like a couple times he's getting tripped and all these things here. But apparently that helped because by the time I got to the barbershop, and remember, the barbershop ain't nothing but like a 10-minute drive from the house, maybe 15, depending on traffic. But about a 10, 15-minute drive from the house, right? So by the time I got to the barbershop, sat in the barber chair, me and my barber talking, the game is over, and France beat Argentina 4-3. I'm like, no, what happened? Because, you know, I ain't going to lie. I was rooting for France because France had more black people. And I already told you I'm rooting for the teams with more black people. So France had more black people than Argentina. So I'm rooting for France. I'm like, okay, damn. We may not get to see France move on. I don't really like France like that, but they just got more black people than Argentina. So we may not see France move on with their black people because Argentina out here balling. Argentina got the 2-1 lead. Argentina seemed like they got a little bit of command, but then I'm forgetting about Mbappe over there on that right-hand side, just pew, 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 you know, going off on everybody because they can't stop Buddy, right? So I get to the barbershop. I sit down in the chair. We in mid-haircut, score 4-3. The match is over, and I'm like, oh, shit. France came. Not only came back on Argentina, but dropped their nuts on Argentina, and Mbappe got 2 goals out of it. 19-year-old. The youngest since Pele to get multiple goals in a World Cup match. One time, you know what? That deserves hand claps for you, Mbappe. That is Mbappe. 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 So, France advances to the Elite Eight. I'm going to call it the Elite Eight. France advances to the Elite Eight, and they are going to play the winner of Uruguay and Portugal, right? So, I watched this game, too. And Uruguay, with the upset over Portugal, so that means Messi is out with Argentina, and Ronaldo is out with Portugal. So star power outside of Neymar is gone, right? Because everybody wanted Argentina and Portugal to play. They wanted Messi and Ronaldo to play, but that ain't happening no more because France and Uruguay said, hold up, man. Hold up, man. What mean? Will you do you think we just gonna roll over? We just gonna roll over? Let y'all boys just drop y'all nuts on? Nah, bitch. And then gonna go down like that water. So Uruguay put together a pretty good game plan to keep Ronaldo from scoring goals, and Uruguay got the 2-1 victory over Portugal. I watched this game; it wasn't as dramatic as the first one, but Uruguay was out there, and they were doing their thing, and they were aggressive. Their defense was very good. They were very aggressive, especially in that last 10 to 12 minutes of the match. They were very, very aggressive, very, very staunch on defense. They were not allowing Ronaldo to be Ronaldo, and it was over. Even though Portugal made some last-minute attempts within the final minutes, because, you know, they have 4 minutes of extra time, so it went to, like, that 94th minute, and then Portugal was able to force like 2 extra minutes, like 1.5, 2 extra minutes out of that, but it still didn't help, and Uruguay came up and with the victory. So now we got France and Uruguay who's going to play in the round of 8, and then so when that happens, but Spain and Russia, Croatia, Denmark, Brazil, and Mexico, Belgium, Japan, the next matches to come up. Then, of course, you know, we got Sweden, Switzerland, and then Colombia, England. So we're waiting on that. And France going to play Uruguay on Friday, July 6th. So, yeah. World Cup update, biatches. Let's talk some boxing, women's boxing. Clarissa Shields defeats Hannah Gabriel. And I just want to let Hannah Gabriel know that her brother is single. So Hannah Gabriel, I just want to let you know her brother is single. I'm single, like I'm really single. Just want to let you know. But Clarissa Shields rallies from a knockdown to defeat Hannah Gabriel. So I'm going to read this to you. Boxing phenom, and you know, our homegirl at here at the show, Clarissa Shields continues to make history at breakneck speed in adding the IBF and WBA middleweight titles in Friday night's main event over her glowing list of accomplishments. Shields, who is now 6-0 with two KOs, tasted the canvas for the first time in her pro career in the first round, but dominated thereafter to soundly defeat challenger Hannah Gabriels, who is 18-2-1 with 10 KOs at the Masonic Temple in Detroit. Now, I want to say this. Clarissa Shields did not soundly defeat Hannah Gabriels. Depending on who you're talking to, a lot of people say Gabriels won the fight. It was not a sound defeat. I watched the tape. It was not a sound defeat. No matter what the scorecards and all this stuff had, the fight was closer than it was scored. Clarissa Shields has no defense, and Hannah Gabriel was tagging her ass. That's how Hannah Gabriel scored the knockdown in the first round. Now, I will say Clarissa Shields landed more shots. I will say that. Clarissa Shields did win the fight, but you cannot say it was a unanimous decision or she dominated or it was a sound defeat. It wasn't like that. We're not going to go out like that. We're going to be real. Clarissa Shields, our homegirl, but it wasn't a sound defeat. She won. She won. She got the scores. She won, but it wasn't no sound defeat. This is what she's saying. This is what Clarissa is saying. And Hannah Gabriel, I'm single. Once I went down, I took a deep breath, and I remember thinking to myself, I'm about to whip this girl, she said. I just remember thinking, let's use the jab and be smart. The adjustment propelled her to victory with scores of 97-92, 97-92, 98-91, which I think doesn't necessarily truly reflect the total match, but, you know, and bringing Shields one step closer to winning world titles in at least three weight divisions by moving down in weight instead of up. The knockdown occurred during a fierce exchange in the first round. Gabriel caught Shields with the right uppercut that dislodged her mouthpiece and sent the Olympian skidding backwards on her rear end. However, Shields did not appear hurt and easily beat the count. Yeah, and it wasn't like none of Shields' punches hurt Gabriel either, right? Shields used her superior size and quickness to dominate most of the exchange. She ain't dominate. Gabriel's was in there with her, landing and cleaning shots and displaying creative combinations. Gabriel slowed down considerably in the fourth round, perhaps from expending too much energy in the opening frame. Now, I will say what Gabriel's went wrong is trying to fight Clarissa Shields' fight. That's what she went wrong, not fighting her fight, but fighting Shields' fight. But I will say Gabriel's did a real good job of being in there and making it a good fight, but it wasn't like Clarissa Shields dominated this fight. A pair of hard right hands rocked Gabriel in the sixth round. Shields continued to control the action, being behind a strong jab and showed remarkable zip on her punches throughout the championship rounds, despite having fought hard for much of the fight. And it went 10. So Gabriel's of Costa Rica was fighting for the first time with the United States, within the United States, and moved up in weight to challenge Shields for the vacant titles. She certainly gave the young star her toughest test yet. Right, so Gabriel moved up in weight class and was able. Gabriel was rocking. Her punches had a little more impact on Shields, but once Shields realized that she could take it, it was pretty much that Shields was like, I'm going to go on out. But it wasn't like Shields hit Gabriel and that any time Gabriel was like, oh, damn, I can't take this. That never happened. So Shields is a good fighter, but she didn't dominate this fight like people say. The difference in talent became noticeably. Well, no. To me, because this article is saying difference in talent, it was a difference in conditioning. A difference in conditioning which propelled Shields to the victory over Gabriels. More so conditioning than talent because Gabriels was in there. Now, up next for Shields is Christina Hammer. And Clarissa Shields want to fuck Hammer up because Clarissa Shields feel like Hammer be disrespecting her because after this victory, Hammer got in the ring and all these things. So that's the next fight, Clarissa Shields versus Christina Hammer, and I'm ready to see that one. And because Hammer fight on the undercard, she beat Tori Nelson. Now, Hammer's fighting style is one that gives Clarissa Shields trouble because Clarissa Shields like to plant her feet and just throw them punches and stuff. And Hammer like to keep people at a distance, use a jab and all these things. So I'm interested to see in this fight because Clarissa Shields could very well lose this fight, even though, of course, we are home girl. We are home people, right? We are folk. We don't want her to lose. But this is a pretty good fight, pretty good matchup between Shields and Hammer because Hammer could very well beat Shields with her style. But you know, Clarissa, our home girl. Blah, 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 blah. So we're going to see over that. So Clarissa Shields, man, congratulations on your victory over my next wife. So, you know, Hannah Gabriel. So it's all good, Hannah. I love you. I still love you, Hannah. I really do. So that's what's going on in the world of boxing. And of course, you know, like I went off in my Friday rant, you know, we're not gonna get Joshua and Wilder no time soon. Triple G Canelo coming up, and then we're looking forward to the Spence and Crawford happening soon. They haven't really made no progress on that, but that's what it is. So yeah. All right. It's time for some off topic shit. And as I told you on this week's off-topic shit, we're getting into Donald J. Trump, and the J is for jackass, and his Space Force. He wants his Space Force. So NASA chief backs Trump's Space Force proposal. We see it as a weak point in the U.S. space strategy. All right, so this is an article by Engadget.com, John Fingas, at John Fingas, F-I-N-G-A-S, at John Fingas, J-O-N-F-I-N-G-A-S, at him, he wrote this article. Whatever you think of Trump's proposed Space Force, it has at least one ally in this corner, recently installed and Trump-selected NASA Administrator Jim Bridenstine. In an interview with Axios, Bridenstine argued that space was becoming more contested and that the U.S. had to be willing to defend space in order to maintain it. When did the U.S. ever get space? Sending satellites or other objects in space doesn't mean you control space. Somebody told these white folk wrong. No country in the United States, that sounds stupid. No country in this world controls or owns space. Get that through your cracker heads. I hope some aliens are in space looking down on this and seeing what's going on. And if so, aliens, look. Most of us black people, we'll tell you who the sellouts are, but aliens, most of us black people, we don't agree with nothing the United States have been doing since they've been here. Like, we don't agree with that, aliens. I hope y'all looking, if it's aliens looking down, looking at this and like, these motherfuckers. I have nothing to do with that. We have nothing to do with that. We were just born in the United States, and we trying to get enough money to leave this motherfucker, you know. So he argued that the Chinese and Russians were developing not only anti-satellite missiles, but co-orbital satellite weapons, jammers, and other space-borne threats. Allegedly, the Chinese see the U.S. lack of space weapons as an Achilles heel to exploit it. So this is the United States and other nations going into space and fighting, pew, 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 fighting in space like they do in the movie. Stupid. Okay. Bernstein stressed that the Pentagon would be responsible for the Space Force if it goes wrong. He just supported the notion of a unit that protects astronauts and the $1 billion-plus investments they're using. There's a degree of truth to the concern that the other countries have been developing anti-satellite weaponry for years. It's not as if they're going to stop. It's not certain that these countries intend to attack or disable U.S. space assets. So there's a worry that the Space Force would lead to a militarization of space that people have sought to avoid for decades. As it is, the NASA administrator's voice only carries so much weight. It's ultimately up to the Pentagon to decide if a Space Force is viable. Now, a Space Force. Y'all haven't mastered Earth Force. The U.S. has been getting their ass whooped in wars for a long time. I know a lot of y'all people who don't read think that the U.S. been out here, like, dominating in wars and stuff. But the U.S. ain't been dominating. The U.S. been getting their ass whooped in wars. So how you going to control space when you can't control the earth? Or like they say in New Orleans, the earth. You ain't controlling the earth. So how you going to control the space? We ain't controlling the earth. Space Force. You are just spending billions of dollars on Earth Force or the military that you that we ain't winning, and there aren't no real there aren't any countries who are blatantly just out here like we finna just take down the United States that aren't in retaliating to some shit the United States did. So for all you people who really believe that there are countries that or that the military is defending our freedom. No, the military is defending the assets of the United States and defending the fuck shit that the United States has already started. They're not defending your freedom. They're defending the fuck shit that they already started and trying to defend the assets that the United States have out there as far as for military game, militaristic game. And the military itself is an asset because it's something that is a billion-dollar damn industry for the United States. Then they want to spend more money on the Space Force because they believe that other countries are going to attack us from space. Even though these other countries could just continue whooping ass on Earth. Because the United States have been getting their ass whooped in wars for a long time. So I'm just, ever since Kim Kardashian became famous for a sex tape, and kept becoming more famous, I knew this country was going to shit. And Donald Trump is more of an indication that this country is going to shit. Actually, it's more of a proclamation that this country has always been a shithole country. America has always been a shithole country. Yes, it has. Any country that supports and fires off of white supremacy is a shithole country. Hallelujah. So let's talk some baseball. So the College World Series closes out unfinished business with the 2018 College World Series Championship in Omaha, Nebraska. Omaha. They will be remembered as one of the most stubborn teams to ever show up in Omaha. A pack of survivors from Oregon State who faced Match Point at the College World Series six times and never blinked. Not even when one more strike would have finished them off for good. I like my action voice. They will be remembered as the team with a single mission created by the pain of 2017 championship or bust. They will be remembered for the freshman who turned into a pitching performance for the ages. Unsinkable, Oregon State finally reached its destination Thursday night with a 5-0 win over Arkansas, and the title can forever stand as a beacon of hope for teams in Omaha, in the Omaha hole. It's been long, it's been hard. That's what she said. It's been long, it's been hard, said Adley Rushman, the catcher with a record 17 College World Series hits, 13 RBIs, and the Most Outstanding Player Award. You watched it, and you didn't really understand until you were playing how truly special, how hard it is. It's easy to watch, and it's hard to be out here doing. The Beavers are national champions despite losing the tournament opening game 12 days before, pushed into a corner not 5 hours after this College World Series began. Six elimination games they faced in 11 days. Six they won. We played pretty well with our backs against the wall, said Kevin Abel, the pitcher who would make it all possible with a historic dominance. It's not where we want to be, but we got it done. They are champions, even after dangling over a cliff Wednesday night down to their last strike against a Razorbacks team that had been 44-0 this season when leading after eight innings. Of the previous 128 College World Series teams who trailed in the ninth inning, 126 had lost. But the Beavers didn't. They are champions because nothing else would do after they were sent home from here early last June. So focused were their eyes on the prize and one prize only, and they refused the obligatory celebration dog pile after the super regional. That's what I'm talking about. That's how you know the boys are gonna win, because they're like, hey man, we ain't finna celebrate no stepping stone. We're gonna celebrate the championship. Championship. We ain't gonna celebrate no stepping stone. We celebrate championships. Champions celebrate championships. Don't celebrate no stepping stone. They celebrate championships, right? So we thought one at the end of the year would be good enough for us, Rushman said. Last year left a salty taste in our mouth, and every single person on the team probably remembers that. Trevor Larry said, ever since then, we started breaking the huddle on finish the job, and we sure did finish. They are champions. They are champions. Even with the starting rotation that struggled nearly every minute unless the pitcher was named Kevin Abel. Take away his two gems against Mississippi State and Arkansas, and the average starters gave up 18 earned runs in 19 innings in Omaha, and still that didn't stop them. A 327 batting average, team batting average, a World Series record 93 hits helped. Rushman led a year after he went 1-1 for 15 here after last year. So they came back, man. They did it. 5-0 win for the Oregon State Beavers. And I was watching a little bit of this game. I was between this WNBA and old soccer reruns and stuff. But they got out. They got up. They got out on Arkansas. And they stayed up on them. You know, me being from the South, I was expecting Arkansas to show some SEC pride and come back and win this game. But they didn't. So one time for the Oregon State Beavers, who are the 2018 College World Series champions. And you know how we do around here. We show love.
In the arms of the angels.
Go Beavers. Y'all some champions. Go Beavers. Y'all some champions. Y'all some champions. Go Beavers. Y'all some champions, y'all some champions, y'all some champions, y'all some champions, y'all some champions. Go Beavers, y'all some champions. Shout out to the Oregon State baseball team for winning the 2018 College World Series and winning it in dramatic fashion, not going down without a fight. Let's talk more baseball. We end the show out on the baseball note, right? Sammy Sosa's PED story doesn't change, so why are we still acting the way we acting towards Sammy? And Sammy Sosa said he want a goddamn statue. Ernie Banks got a statue. Why Sammy can't get no statue? And Sammy said my stat's better than Ernie Banks, so if Ernie Banks got a statue, I can't get no statue. And Sammy Sosa has the skin complexion of a shaved cat. Sammy Sosa used to be brown skin. Sammy Sosa's skin tone used to be darker than mine. Now he literally has the skin tone of a tongue. Sammy Sosa has the skin tone of Dracula. Sammy Sosa has the skin tone of a chewed up wad of Big League Chew bubblegum. Sammy Sosa hates his blackness. And therefore, he changed his skin tone. He said he looked good. Put a little lotion. I put a little lotion on my skin, my friend. And my friend, I am good, my friend. I am feeling good about myself. I love the way I look. I love the way I feel. I love the way I swing the baseball. But my question is, why do you still say I have the TED? And why do not have no trophy? Because my friend, I am Sammy Sosa, my friend. You see my hair, you see my skin, you see everything about me, my friend. I want to go out there, I want to play the baseball, my friend. And I play the baseball. When I hit the baseball, I do the hip and the scuff and all the things that my friend. I play the baseball, my friend. I am Sammy Sosa, my friend. I want to be down, my friend. I want to be up, my friend. I want to be left. I want to be right. I want to be everywhere, my friend. But you, my friend, don't want to be my friend, so I say no, my friend. Right? So this is an article written by Fear Rosenthal of the Chicago Tribune. So, ask a suspected jewel thief if he committed a jewel heist. If his response is, I didn't trip any alarms, you can't ask any questions. You can't stop asking questions, rather. So this ongoing fascination with Sammy Sosa and illicit performance enhancements during his playing days with the Cubs, while still evidently compelling fodder for countless columns and sports talk debates, seems a futile endeavor. I've never failed a drug test. I never failed a drug test, my friend. Sosa told Sports Illustrated, which was looking back on the season 20 years ago when he hit 66 home runs, surpassed by Mark McGwire's 70, and both unprecedented. So both of them were passed by Barry Bonds. So why are you asking me about that? And my friend, they don't say have nothing on Sammy Sosa about no testing or nothing. No, I never felt nothing. I never come up dirty or nothing. So why you still talk about me that way, my friend? You cannot talk about my skin. My skin is the same color my skin is when I came from my mother's womb. When I was born from my mother, my skin been the same color. So you cannot talk about my skin. My skin did not change. All I did was put some lotion on my skin. And then over time, when the light hit my skin, it looks more brighter. But right now, my skin is perfect, my friend. Okay. Yeah. Let's move on to Secretariat's grave and start stomping so we can report. Yep. Still there. For a guy we've written off, we still do an awful lot of writing about Sosa. The fascination tells us more about ourselves than Sosa, who is demonstrating that foolish consistency said to be the hobgoblin of little mind. We all have a vested interest in the sun rising in the east each morning, but it won't rise on the level of worthlessness until it doesn't. Until and unless Sosa changes his story, there is no story. His change in size, power, and performance during baseball's PED era combined with the New York Times reporting he was among 144 players tested positive in 2013 before Major League Baseball had penalties before doing so. I never had a positive test. I never have a positive in this country, Sosa told ESPN in an interview set on Sunday night. An interview ran on E60 at 8 p.m. with Jeremy Schapp and Sammy Sosa. Jeremy Schapp dug in specifically about whether he used performance-enhancing drugs. No, my friend. I never miss tests. No, I never miss any tests at the major league level. And my friend, so no, my friend. Once again, I never test positive, my friend. No, my friend. This reminds me of a joke. Knock, knock. Who's there? Sammy Sosa. Who? I never tested positive. Why do you keep asking Sammy Sosa this, which is a lame-ass joke, but whatever. In the space of 2 months, there have been at least 8 Sammy Sosa headlines in the Chicago Tribune.com, counting this article as one. The first 7 neatly summarizes Sosa saga such as it is. Sammy Sosa will welcome Wrigley return for fans, says criticism is devil's. This article written fucked up, but basically Jeremy Schapp had a conversation with Sammy Sosa about his PED use. He was like, "No, my friend, I never show that I used the drug in the United States. They never caught me. They never quit me. They never got me. No, my friend, none of that." And if Ernie Banks have a statue, why I have no statue? I want statue. I need statue. I want statue. I'm Sammy Sosa. What do you mean? I hate baseball real good. I boom and baseball went out. What do you mean? And look at and stop looking at my skin. My skin is fucked up. Yes, fucked up. Yes, my skin is fucked up. But it is not because I put something on my skin to make my skin turn. My skin is my skin because the light hit my skin around 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock in the day when the light hit my skin, it looks different. But my skin be the same, my friend, my skin be the same, my friend, since the day I was born, since the day my mother brought me to this earth, my friend, since the first day I played baseball, my friend, since the first day I was the Chicago Cup, my friend, since the last day I was the Chicago Cup. My skin, my friend, has not changed, nothing. My skin, my friend. My skin, my friend. The skin I'm in, my friend. It's about the skin I'm in. Okay, my friend. My skin is a little bit lighter than it used to be, my friend, but it's just from a lotion, my friend. It's just from a lotion and the emotion in the ocean with the lotion. The emotion in the ocean with the lotion. I was ashy one day. I went to this lady. I said, excuse me, lady. I am Sammy Sosa. Do you know who I am? I said, I'm Sammy Sosa. I hit the baseball over the fence and the baseball they go in there. Sammy Sosa. So I said, do you have some lotion for my skin? Because my skin is very dry. Because when I hit the baseball over the fence and then I slide and I dive in the dirt and then I'm in the dirt and I need some lotion for my skin because after I take a bath and, you know, I need the lotion. And the lotion made my skin turn. So it is not me. It is not Sammy. Sammy does not want to change his skin. It is the lotion. My friend. So that's what we have with Sammy Sosa. So it's an interview. Make sure you go back and check it out. ESPN E60 interview. Set air Sunday at 8 on ESPN E60 with Sammy Sosa, Jeremy Shepard. He's talking about baseball, PEDs, his statue, wanting a statue outside of Chicago Cubs Stadium because he feels like he needs a statue, and his skin. So, yes. My friend, my skin. My skin, my friend, is how we do. Now it's time to get angry. Now, Espana, I'm gonna get on your ass. Somebody say, and now, Espana, I'm gonna get on your ass. This night, in my ass. So my weekly rant is aimed at this motherfucker, Chris Bosio, because he called the motherfuckers monkeys. In their motherfucking face. All right. Fired Tigers coach reportedly used monkey to refer to black clubhouse attendant, not white player. Fuck you, Chris Bosio. You's a bitch. Detroit Tigers said Wednesday that they fired pitching coach Chris Bosio out of zero tolerance for the kind of insensitive comments he made toward another team employee. According to Bosio, it was all a big misunderstanding as he claimed Thursday that he used a term that was interpreted as a racist by a black clubhouse attendant but was actually meant to reference to a white player. Fuck you, Chris Bosio. Fuck tires on your car. Fuck your house. Fuck your lawn. Fuck your cats. Fuck your dogs. Fuck your shades. Fuck your teeth. Fuck your beard. Fuck your hat. Fuck your eyes, fuck your digestive system, fuck your reproductive system, fuck your immune system, fuck your teeth, fuck your eyes, fuck your hands, fuck your career, right? I'm absolutely crushed, Bosio told Nightingale of USA Today. I still can't believe he's gotten to this point. I'm in shock. I mean, come on now. Where has the days gone when you can call a nigger a monkey? And nobody got up in arms because you called a nigger a monkey. Where have those days gone? I thought since Trump was in office and America was great again, and I could call a nigger a monkey, nobody would have a problem with niggers being monkeys. But now all of a sudden, I called a nigger a monkey, then I got to lie about it and say, no, I didn't call a nigger a monkey. I called another white player a monkey, but not a nigger a monkey. I didn't call that nigger a monkey, you know. I might call them niggers from time to time, but not monkeys. But we all call them niggers, though, right? So that's basically what he sounds like. The problem is that per Ken Rosenthal and Kate Strange of The Athletic, it was the attendant at whom the slur was directed, and the incident was witnessed by another team employee. Rosenthal and Strange also report that per multiple sources, Bosio was provided an opportunity to apologize to the attendant for his outburst, but declined to do so because he's a bitch and his kids is bitches. The 55-year-old ex-coach, who was in his first season in Detroit after earning praise for his work in the Cubs staff from 2012 to 2017, said that the attendant heard him say monkey and took offense. However, Bosio asserted that he was referring to Daniel Stumpf, a Tigers player he said was nicknamed Spider Monkey. someone in our coach's room asked me on Monday about Stump Osteo Toe Nightingale, and I said, "Oh, you mean Spider Monkey? That's his nickname. He's a skinny little white kid who makes all these funny faces when he works out." The kid, clubhouse attendant, thought we were talking about him. He got all upset. He assumed we were talking about him. I said, no. We were talking about Stump. And that was it. I swear on my mom and dad's graves, there was nothing else to it. My mom and my dad, we used to sit around and talk about niggers all the time. I swear we did. There was more to it for the Tigers, who said they included legal counsel in interviewing people and involved in the incident before the team's general manager, Al Avila, decided to terminate Basile's contract. "We know what we did and why we did it, and we'll see where it goes from here," Avila told Nightingale. "The action we took was appropriate." He added there were things involved. When Stump was asked Thursday about the nickname, he said, this is the kicker now. When Stump was asked Thursday about the nickname, he said he was unaware of it. So Basio over there lying like a motherfucker because they asked Stump, and Stump like, "Hell nah, bitch, I motherfucker don't call me no Spider Monkey. We ain't even friends like that." So when Stump was asked Thursday about nickname, he was unaware of it. "Spider Monkey is not a nickname I have been called or am familiar with." The 27-year-old pitcher currently with the Tigers Class AAA affiliate while recovering from an injury told the Detroit Free Press. When MLB allowed players to use nicknames on the backs of their jerseys during the designated players weekend last August, Stump went with Donald. According to MLB.com, the nickname was bestowed upon him by minor league teammates who said who thought his last name sounded like Trump. Stump and Trump. Basio. The Free Press reported Thursday that multiple players and coaches who have been around Stump during his 2-year season with Detroit said that they have never heard him referred to directly as Spider Monkey. Tony Paul of the Detroit News said on Twitter, "If Basio's story is true, he'd have 3 or 4 assistant coaches backing him up and he would still have his job." But nope. In announcing the firing of Basio, the Tigers declined to specify exactly what he said. The team offered no further official comment Thursday after Basio divulged that it was Monkey. But he said he had pleaded his case with Avila and other team officials, insisting that he didn't cross the line. Nah, bitch ass Basio. Oh, bitch ass Basio. Your bitch ass got to go. Bitch ass Basio. Your bitch ass got to go. Bitch ass Basio. You got to go because you's a big old hoe. Nah, what's funny is Stump's like, "Hold up, bitch. Hold up, Basio. Hold up, bitch. Hold up, bitch. First of all, motherfucker, we ain't friends, first of all. First of all, Basio, you look like a child molester, first of all. You look like you ride around in a white van with no windows, just a paneled van with no windows. That's what you look like. And then you're going to try to say, I'm Stump right now. And then you're going to try to pull me into this shit, right? You're going to try to pull me into this shit after you look like a child molester, a rapist. You're going to pull me into this talking about you called me Spider Monkey. Bitch, we ain't friends. So I just gave you a ride home that one time when you were cheating on your wife. Oops, did I say too much? That one time when you were cheating on your wife and your car broke down, I gave you a ride home then. But other than that, bro, I don't know you, dog. We ain't talk like that, dog. We ain't talk like that. Hey, man, Basio. This is back to Joseph. Basio. You was a bitch. Everything about you a bitch. Your mustache a bitch. Them 2 chins you got a bitch. The extra stomach you got a bitch. I hope your fat ass develop diabetes and the heart disease and have you can't maintain. You can't even get erections no more. I hope all that happens to you. I hope, goddammit, you fall behind on your taxes. Calling somebody a monkey. Hey, and y'all white people kill me with that. Y'all white people kill me always calling black people monkeys. Y'all white people kill me with that. All right, so let's get nerdy and scientific with this shit. Everybody who knows how to read, know that black people, African people, were the first people to exist on this earth. And we know white people and all other people come from black people, right? So if white people come from black people and black people are monkeys, then what that make white people? Monkey doodle? monkey shit, monkey pee, a combination of monkey shit and pee. So for all you white folk who out there like to call black people monkeys, if we monkeys and we existed before you all, what are you? Monkey shit? I mean, you tell me. Like y'all, like y'all let me know, Basio. So you want to call people monkey? You monkey? Yeah, now your monkey ass ain't got no job. Of course, somebody else, somebody, some other white supremacist, Donald Trump loving motherfucker, gonna hire your punk ass again. But for right now, Basio, bitch ass Basio, bitch ass Basio. Right now, you, your wife, your kids, your family, all y'all, some fuck boys and pussy hoes. Fuck boys and pussy hoes. That should be named. They should give y'all a TV show called Fuck Boys and Pussy Hoes. Yep. Basio, I knew you was a part of the National Fuck Boys Association of America. I knew you was. I knew you was. You were you, Jameis Winston, a lot of other people part of the National Fuck Boys Association of America, Donald Trump, Charles Barkley, Skip Bayless, Laura Ingraham. Laura Ingraham is she a female. And she a president of the National Football Association of America. She's single to have a penis. But Chris Basio, you the biggest pussy in the world. Man, please. Chris Basio, I'll beat your ass. I swear I'll slap the fuck out your second chin. You soft cracker ass cracker. You built like the fucking marshmallow man, Chris Basio. Your wife is uninspired by your sexual performances. Neither one of your kids are yours. Your wife cheated on you, and all of your kids are the children of Roger Clemens and Jose Canseco and Jerry the King Lawler from wrestling. Those are all the fathers of your children. Yep. Sammy Sosa smashed your wife. Sammy Sosa. Before the skin fuck up, before he fucked the skin up, Sammy Sosa smashed. So you ain't even the father of your kids. All your kids have been fathered by other people, and your wife made you think that you was the father of those kids. But all your kids have been fathered by other people, and you was a bitch boy. And your grandfather is the first person to join the National Football Association of America. Your grandfather, Grandfather Basio. And then that led to Father Basio, and then you. And then, you know, you passed the bitch-ass Basio gene on down to other people. But all in all, Chris Basio, whatever the fuck your name is, bitch-ass Basio, I'm glad your ass got fired. Dude should have beat your ass. You need your fucking ass with all y'all white people who really think. And I know why y'all white people doing that, because y'all are emboldened, y'all are empowered, because the system has been created for you, and all this shit has been created for you to empower you. But you know what? We fight back. Black folk, we fight back. And I'm glad your bitch ass has got fired, Basio, because you's a bitch in the half. Hey, I ain't no pussy-ass nigga, understand? That's you that got fired from the Tigers, huh? That's you, that old bitch-ass boy, huh? That's you that can't get no erections, huh? That's you who wife left you for Charles Barkley, huh? Yeah, Charles, Chris Basio. That's you, that's a bitch-ass Basio, huh? I ain't gonna waste no more of my time and my rant on you, bitch-ass Basio, because you's a fuckboy and all that, though, Chris Basio. And I'm glad that I hope your baseball career is over, you fat fucker. And, yeah, that's all I got to say about you, man. Hey, man, this is the Fix Sports Podcast. You know, I'm Joseph Ward. This is the realest and the blackest sports podcast ever. Check me out, freedomtrainradio.com. Going down, because, hey, man, we do how we do, and we do what we do. Two fingers in the air, man. Get the hell up out of here.
Yeah! I am the greatest.
I call the president. President, we need a National Guard. We need as many men as you can spare, because we are killing the Patriots. So call the dogs off. Send the National Guard, please. They need emergency help.
That ball hit hard. Stretch. Austin Jackson back looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. Back to back Jack. And it is 4-1.
On that ball. Jackson has it. The All-American tight end is going in. And Oklahoma takes the lead on a 71-yard touchdown play.
ripped his heart out. I'm the best ever. I'm the most brutal and vicious and most ruthless champion there's ever been. There's no one can stop me. Lynx is a conqueror. No, I'm Alexander. He's no Alexander. I'm the best ever. There's never been anybody ruthless. I'm Sonny Liston. I'm Jack Dempsey. There's no one like